cutting-edge 21st century multimedia broadcasting station. We need to reverse the 3 years of deliberate negligence on the part of Pacifica National in not getting the money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that has cost the whole system millions of dollars. With your generous help, we can change all this and make WBAI the cutting-edge broadcasting institution it should be. Vote Indy Caucus 2015.
This is King Downing, and I'm running for the board. I'm an analyst, educator, lawyer, mediator, not yet displaced Harlem resident, and member of several progressive organizations, including the Ferguson Legal Defense Committee. I'm clear that you can't change what you can't manage. WBAI must have a permanent progressive program director and a permanent development director. No major nonprofit is without one. And you can't manage what you don't measure. That applies to management, programs, and staff, and could include on-air call-ins, reinstated town hall meetings, and listener surveys. Please vote for me, King Downing, and the rest of the Justice and Unity slate. Also, write in my sister lawyer, Lynn Stewart, as number one, since her online membership didn't register. Visit us at www.justiceunity.org. Thank you.
I'm Eugene Hammond. I've been a BAI supporter for years, taken pledges, mailed premiums, and worked on the community bulletin board. I sing in the New York City Labor Chorus and volunteer with IFCO Pastors for Peace. I'm running for the board because BAI needs serious changes to stay alive and grow as a progressive voice. Constant, often commercial-sounding fundraisers must end. We need to use other fundraising avenues. We need to redevelop a news department, cover more events, and train youth producers. I'm willing to work with others toward these goals. Please vote for the Justice and Unity slate, endorsed by the International Action Center and many others. Go to www.justiceunity.org.
Hello, Cabal. I'm Frank Lefevre. You can learn almost everything about me in my Facebook postings. The most important thing I can do if reelected to the local station board is to put two good directors on the Pacifica National Board, because that board has the legal authority and power to do with BAI whatever it wants. Please rank Robert Young and Alex Seinberg even higher than me on your ballot so they can protect BAI on that national board. If you want details, go online to electindycaucus2015.org or to electindycaucus2015 in Facebook.
The views expressed are not those of WBAI management, staff, or current board. To view full candidate statements, visit www.elections.pacifica.org.
Thank you. Listen to my heart speak.
Bathe in the warmth of the morning sun.
I'll wait for you.
I'll wait for you.
Bathe in the warmth of the morning sun.
Good morning. You're listening to WBAI Radio in New York City, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. This program is Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine Davis, and I am sharing this morning with you, and we do hope that you have an opportunity to enjoy all that is taking place in the world today. There's a lot going on when you think about it. There's a lot going on. In our last program, we had an opportunity to speak about a little of the politics of our day. And what I discovered, really, is that there is some change that's taking place. That change, for me, I guess, had a lot to do with the whole visit of our guest here in this country, the Pope, who came in from Italy and made an address here in New York City at the UN. He made an address to the joint congressional delegation, I guess the Senate and the Congress. He spoke with the president, and I believe he went off to Philadelphia. But I didn't really hear too many of his speeches. I heard one, and I felt it was quite significant, really. It was the speech that he offered to the joint session of Congress. And one of the things that struck me as I was listening to his speech, I couldn't take my eyes off of the two gentlemen in the background, Joe Biden and John Boehner, I was so shocked, well, maybe not shocked, but surprised when just a few days later, John Boehner resigned. So I found that fascinating that the Pope seemed to have such a significant impact on this particular person. And the reason I say that, even though in his resignation speech he didn't make that link to the Pope, but after seeing the look on his face, it really did give me a sense of, maybe, just maybe, there was a connection. And if you have a chance to go back and look at that video, you can find it on YouTube. What you will see is a very strange series of facial movements and grimaces, and you'll see a very uncomfortable pair in that particular situation, and I was rather fascinated by it. I almost couldn't pay attention to what the Pope was saying because I was so fascinated by what was being shown in the background. So that was just one of those things that amazed me, totally amazed me. And so it made me wonder if perhaps this Pope is having a greater impact with his words than I imagined was possible. So I was really quite happy to see that there is some kind of an impact that's literally taking place in the world as a result of his particular conversation, his dialogue, his bringing up such an important aspect of our lives, calling these politicians and such to task, making sure that they begin to pay attention and take responsibility for some of the things that they're doing in the world. So I thought that was a pretty cool development, to tell you the truth. And so, makes you wonder, what did Pope Francis say that was so compelling, or so, I won't say inspiring, but so jarring to these politicians. And so a little of what he said is this. Our response must instead be one of hope and healing, of peace and justice. We are asked to summon the courage and the intelligence to resolve today's many geopolitical and economic crises. Even in the developed world, the effects of unjust structures and actions are all too apparent. Our efforts must aim at restoring hope, righting wrongs, maintaining commitments, and thus promoting the well-being of individuals and of peoples. We must move forward together as one, in a renewed spirit of fraternity and solidarity, cooperating generously for the common good. And another excerpt of what he said. Politics is instead an expression of our compelling need to live as one, in order to build as one the greatest common good, that of a community which sacrifices particular interests in order to share in justice and peace its good, its interests, its social life. I do not underestimate the difficulty that this involves, but I encourage you in this effort. Here too I think of the march which Martin Luther King Jr. led from Selma to Montgomery 50 years ago as part of the campaign to fulfill his dream of full civil and political rights for African Americans. That dream continues to inspire us all. I am happy that America continues to be for many a land of dreams. Dreams which lead to action, to participation, to commitment. Dreams which awaken what is deepest and truest in the life of a people. And I found his talk to be inspiring. I think many of the congressional leaders found it inspiring, but also somewhat challenging, because he has been really putting forth an agenda in which the environment is important and the poor and needy are important and need to be prioritized. And so I just find it very fascinating, and there's something much deeper happening, I believe. There's something much deeper happening with Francis other than just him being one more pope in a long line of popes who perhaps created a world that may be presented in the very thing that this new pope is speaking about, because the whole Christian Catholic legacy is a very bloody one. So it's interesting to see that we have a pope that has some consciousness about what needs to change in the world. In our opening moments, we heard our two themes for this program. We have Earth by Michelle Indiocello and Come to the River by Diane Reeves. And so now I'm going to play Sunrise Prayer by Douglas Spotted Eagle. And you're listening to WBAI. This is Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. We had an interesting celestial event take place this week, and that was the eclipse, blood moon eclipse. I'm sure many of you saw it. But did you know that it had a number of implications as far as the whole end of the world conspiracy goes? A lot of folks in the doom and gloom, in the category of doom and gloom, have been predicting that these blood moons would be an indication of the apocalypse and the end of the world. But of course, what does apocalypse really mean? It means the revealing. It means essentially the truth coming out. It means that all the secrets are being shared. It really, its true meaning is not one of doom and gloom. So I found that, I think that's very interesting to consider as well. But also those folks who are connected to what some might think of as the New Age or New Agey movement are looking at many of these things as part of the historical predictions being made by some of the ancient civilizations, and I guess some new civilizations have been looking at it as well. And so we have all these predictions of what's to occur, and of course nothing of, I won't say significance, but there's very little that we can see from the outside that's changed. Most of what we can discern that has changed in the world must be viewed from the inner perspective, and that's really the way to see things. To be able to really see the change is to mark the change that's occurring within yourself. Nevertheless, I thought it would be interesting to share with you a piece written by Patricia Cota Robles. She's a very respected mystic reader, channeler, very well respected. And her name, Patricia Cota Robles, actually her website is eraofpeace.org. And she wrote something back on September 20th. What to expect from the equinox, eclipse, and wave X. Have you heard of wave X? Do you know what wave X really is? I'll let you know. From Patricia Cota Robles. This is an historical moment on planet Earth. As usual, there are myriad predictions as to what we are going to physically experience and what these auspicious events will mean in all of our lives. As has happened over and over again throughout the various events involving Earth's ascension process, people are predicting the full gamut of possibilities. These predictions include everything from the end of the world to the instant manifestation of heaven on Earth, neither of which is going to happen. That does not mean, however, that what we are in the midst of experiencing is not the most incredible and monumental opportunity we have ever had, because it is. The reason people have been disappointed so many times is because they have erroneously expected for these shifts of energy, vibration, and consciousness to instantly manifest in the physical plane. People look at outer world appearances, and because they do not see any immediate changes, they feel that the events did not actually happen, and that the information was just another New Age hoax. The reality is that the vast majority of events that have taken place over the past several decades not only happened, but according to the Company of Heaven, they succeed in accelerating humanity's and Mother Earth's ascension process beyond the greatest expectations of heaven. Now, I'm going to pause here because of the environment and the audience to which I speak. What I'm giving you is a glimpse into the world of the New Age. And the New Age is for some folks who are, as I said, deeply entrenched in old religious prophecy, doom and gloom. And then there's the other half of this sort of New Age community that is very esoteric, very connected to the dimensional world, the invisible world, the world of angels and guides and elementals and earth spirits. And so it's a little bit more. When you look at the New Age movement on the one side, it appears a bit like a fairy tale. And you look at the New Age movement on its opposite pole, and it looks a lot like Dante's Inferno, kind of a nightmare scenario. So it's an interesting perspective because a lot of people fall into either one of these categories, myself included. I tend to think of things more in a middle way. I'm not either in the fairy tale zone or in the Dante's Inferno zone. But I do have a deep sense that we're living in a reality that is far more complex than we can see with the naked eyes. So from my perspective, yes, there are beings that exist, coexist in a world, our world, but they are not present in the same way that we are present physically, but they are completely whole, conscious beings and have a world unto their own that coexists with our world. Some people call these being angels. Some people call them, ascended masters. Some people call them dead people. You know, they're people who've passed over, lived on the planet and died. Some of them are people who never quite incarnated into human form, so we could think of them as beings of a different nature than human beings. But we do coexist, and if you look at many of the ancient ancestral traditions, they certainly believe that the ancestors continue to exist in a form in some realm beyond our physical realm. And so in this world of sort of expanded awareness is how I might describe it, an expanded awareness of what's going on around us, what's going on within us. And so the whole point of this time period, such as it is to bring about in humanity an opportunity to evolve to the next level. So it's really important. It's really important to understand that we are at this juncture in our human history and cosmic history, in which we have an opportunity to evolve to the next level of being. And I do believe that this is what Pope Francis speaks to. And it speaks to moving into a higher, I don't want to say higher because that suggests hierarchy, but a more expanded consciousness and a more porous sense of compassion for what's going on in the world, a more elevated sense of responsibility for what's happening in the world. And so we're in this juncture where we are becoming more aware of what's happening, and we're becoming more responsible for our actions. And I think that responsibility is not being driven so much from the outside of shame and blame, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. It's more driven from an inner realization of what is true and what is possible, and an inner realization of the true magnitude of our choices. And I am of the opinion that this is what happened with John Boehner, the head of the Senate, I think it is, the elected head of the Senate. Majority leader, I think that's what they call it, the majority leader of the Senate. And so what would compel someone to have this kind of meltdown, this public meltdown, based on being presented with information? So if this information had been presented maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it wouldn't have had the same impact as it is in this moment, because of this confluence of external cosmic forces that are being spoken of in this particular editorial by Patricia Kota-Robles. And what she's speaking of, the equinox, the eclipse, and wave X. Now, the equinox, we know, is the changing of seasons. And we just passed through the autumn equinox, the fall equinox. And it's when we made that transition from summer into fall. And we had this, we've had a whole series of lunar eclipses and blood moons. And the other piece is the wave X. Now, what's really interesting is that the scientists have recently, and I'm going to see if I can come across this article. I have it in my Facebook. And for those of you who'd like to connect, that's a good way to connect through Facebook. My name is spelled K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, Catherine Davis, and you can find me on Facebook. But there is an interesting story in which scientists have recently seen this sort of explosive energy coming from the center of our cosmos, what would normally be thought of as a black hole. So it seems to be erupting in the same way that the sun erupts, you know, with flares. And what's interesting about this is that as the sun is erupting, creating these, the center of the cosmos is erupting, creating this flaring effect, it's sending energy out through the cosmos, which is reaching Earth at this time. And many believe that this is what is being considered wave X. It means that the solar system has a great deal of impact on evolution of species. So their vibrational level of our solar system is changing, and as a consequence, humanity is changing. And one of those changes is that we are becoming very less dense carbon-based and dense materially, and we're evolving into a more crystal-based materiality. So it's like the carbon that gets under great pressure becomes a diamond. And it's the same principle for humanity. Under great pressure, we become more clear. We become more resonant with truth. We become transformed. This is part of what evolution is about. And so this is what Wave X is referring to. It's referring to the flow of energies that come through the cosmos, emanating from the center of the cosmos, the center of the galaxy. And it affects everything. It affects every planet, and it affects every living being in the galaxy, which includes you and I. And so it's really important to consider, as you are personally going through whatever transformations you might be noticing within your own life, that it's connected to this much bigger process. So giving you just a little bit more of that backdrop, I'm going to see what else Patricia Cota-Robles has to share. Okay, so that we will not miss this amazing opportunity by letting our distorted perception fool us again, the beings of light in the realm of illuminated truth want to reiterate how we will experience the colossal shift of energy, vibration, and consciousness we will receive, or at this point have received, through the upcoming equinox, full moon, lunar eclipse, and influx of gamma rays from Wave X. So we're living in a very different cosmic environment than we were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. They want us to remember that first and foremost, we, you and I, are multidimensional beings functioning in various dimensions simultaneously. The physical plane of Earth, which we believe is so real, is actually the least real of all the dimensions we abide in, and is the very last dimension to reflect the changes we are co-creating in the realms of cause. The reason we do not experience these monumental events instantaneously in the physical plane is because they are first created in the realms of cause, where everything begins. Now, if you wonder, what is this really saying? What are we talking about here? Perhaps some of you have heard of the law of attraction. The law of attraction. You know, the movie The Secret. And we have all kinds of goodwill truth seekers and teachers and on some level opportunists talking about this law of attraction. And how does the law of attraction really work? It works by understanding that we attract what we project. So if you are in a state of mind in which you feel worthless, you will attract experiences that will reflect that. If you are in a state of mind in which you feel victorious or you feel worthy and expectant, then you can attract experiences that will be a reflection of that mindset. So the whole law of attraction works on the principle that the energy of thinking, the energy of our heart space, what we're holding within us, is the cause for what happens in the outside world. So that's the reason for affirmations. That's the reason for working through old issues, because when we don't, we end up repeating them. So if you have issues with your relationships, you'll tendency to have that same issue again and again and again with different people. So this is about cause and effect. So the cause is internal. The cause of our outer life starts with our inner expression, our inner belief system, the attitudes we hold, and the insights or lack thereof really are what create the world outside of us. Now, this works on a personal level with our individual lives, and it works on a society level, the group level, the group mind. You know, we have heard Carl Jung talk about the collective unconscious. Well, there's a collective unconscious, there's a common consciousness that is a collection of the will of all people who are alive on the planet. So when all people who are alive on the planet are holding within their unconscious thoughts fearfulness or anger or the desire for retribution, or they're holding on to selfishness, then the society will reflect that. And that's kind of what we've been living through, a society that reflects a great deal of fear, a great deal of hoarding and selfishness, because people are fearful. They want to hold on to everything. So we're swimming in this world that's created by an unconscious milieu of humanity. And so this unconscious milieu, which has a lot of fear, a lot of anger, a lot of control within it, has been leading humanity in the path of self-destruction. So yes, it's possible that we could have reached that state of self-destruction. But what has intervened with that, what seemed like an endless death spiral, what has intervened with that is the energy, the consciousness that arises out of the cosmos, or one would say out of the divinity of everyone, the divinity of the creation, the Big Bang, whatever that was, the consciousness, the intelligence behind that is still principally operating all of reality. So there's been this transformation that has been initiated out of the center of our cosmos. Now, this is something that's documentable. You can research it and you'll find articles on the energy that's coming from the galactic center. There's scientific proof of that. So it's something that's really happening. One could ignore it and pretend like it has no meaning, or one could look at it and say, wow, there's something really happening. So I just typed into my web browser, wave coming from the center of the galaxy, and it's taking me to an article from National Geographic. This is a fairly reputable organization. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm sure they've made some errors, but they're fairly reputable, National Geographic. And the article says, radio waves detected coming from center of galaxy. Astronomers have detected an unusual, powerful burst of intermittent radio waves emanating from the direction of the center of our galaxy. Now the search is on to trace the source of the mystery radio bursts, or at least find more like it. So this is very interesting. And so it's saying that, oh, well, they don't know at this point where it's coming from. This is an article March 2nd, 2005. So let's look for something that's a little bit more recent. But as I'm saying, you can look at this and begin to understand that there's really something happening in our galaxy. And it's having an impact not just on our lives, but it's having an impact on our consciousness. And this is why it's important to begin to wonder, you know, have wonderment about what's going on in our world, what's going on in our physical bodies, what's going on in our capacity to understand and be aware. Now, in the scientific realm, you're going to find dry facts. When you go into the realm of the esoteric, you're going to find other kinds of perspectives. And the article I'm reading you by Patricia Cota-Robles is from that esoteric perspective. But there is something real going on, so one can take it as they would. But the whole point of this is for me to say that our physical plane, the reason we're not seeing changes immediately is because they are first being created in the realms of cause, where everything begins, where the intent is formed. And so we see things happening a little bit slowly, but I would suggest that we are at a marking point where we're going to see a lot of amazing changes, where we're going to see a lot of changes in people's opinions, in the governments, in communities, civilizations, countries that are no longer willing to be enslaved by this political power, the corporate powers that are taking place in the world. It's happening slowly in some ways, but we're reaching that crescendo point. And from my perspective, that's what this article is telling us, that we're really reaching this crescendo point when we're going to be seeing recognizable changes both in ourselves and in the world. Okay. So it's saying that nothing can prevent these events from manifesting in the world because they have manifested on the causal plane. So we are going to have to hold on to our seats and just be on a ride of whatever will happen, what happened, but it'll be transformative, it'll be wonderful, and it may take 20, 30 years. We're at the beginning of it, so I'm not saying tomorrow it will all change. So let's see, the divine plan as described by Patricia Cota-Robles. The company of heaven has revealed that the shifts of energy, vibration, and consciousness unparalleled in the history of time have occurred since the birth of the new earth in December 2012. However, they are affirming now that those accomplishments will pale in comparison to the shifts we will experience in the month of September and October. Every conceivable assistance is being given to humanity from on high to help us accomplish our ascension process. And ascension, for those who are not up on the New Age terminology, if you look at the old religions, they're talking about, you know, people's bodies floating in the sky and going, you know, disappearing from Earth and going into some heavenly space. That's the old guard perspective. The newer perspective on so-called ascension is that it becomes a space within which our consciousness expands to include our multi-dimensional expressions. So if you think in terms of our world, our reality, it's a third-dimensional reality, perhaps fourth-dimensional, because you add time to the three dimensions, and that gives you a fourth density, fourth dimensional reality. And we're living here with our bodies and our limited consciousness that is primarily focused on the expression of our external world. If you begin to include your internal world as an equal part of your expression, your beingness, then you begin to move into what is referred to as a higher density. It's basically a more expanded awareness. So some people live in the world with no inner life, no sense of who they are on the inside. And as we begin to become aware of our inner life, who we are on the inside, there's usually some dissonance between who we are on the inside and the life we're living on the outside. So on the inside, you might feel or have felt, I have always wanted to be an artist. Or I'm a musician in my heart. I've always wanted to be involved in music. I'm truly a writer. That's my calling. So you have this inside perspective of who you are. Maybe something that you've held since childhood. To be a dancer. To be a performer in the theater. To maybe be a scientist and to create some great things in a laboratory. So we have this inner dreamy-like expression of who we are, of who we have always seen ourselves as, or of who we dream ourselves to be. And that's our inner world. And the outer world is what we have had to become in order to survive in the world. So it might mean that you're doing a job that you hate. It might mean that you're in a relationship that's unsatisfying. It might mean that you are in a situation when you are fearful. You might have wealth, but you're afraid of losing it. Or you might be impoverished and hungry and lost and, you know, at odds with what to do, how to overcome. So that's the outside world. That's the three-dimensional world. That's where we have space, time, we can see things, we can feel things with our senses. And we engage in the world based on what the people around us say and do and think, because we want to fit in, because we want to be prosperous. So we live this almost fake life in the real material world. And on the inside, in our inner life, sometimes we're in this state of quiet desperation, unhappy. And so that first movement into the recognition of that inner world is part of that expansiveness. And so then we recognize, oh, I'm feeling differently and I'm acting one way on the outside world, I'm feeling differently in my inner life. That's an expansion of consciousness. And then if you can expand deeper, you begin to realize that all those tumultuous emotions of your inner life are only a fragment of you as well. And if you expand deeper into who you are beyond that, you become sort of the watcher, the one who's looking and inspiring and trying to get you to honor your truth. So there's a part of you that has a deeper understanding. And as you expand your awareness to that part of you, then you become even more dimensional. So that's three dimensions already. That's the physical world. That's the inner life, the emotional world, the tumult, the disappointment, the confusion, or the pleasure, the sweetness. It could be good or it could be bad. It's not all bad. And then you move back into a part of yourself that is a little bit more detached. And the part of you that says, oh, I'm happy today. Oh, I'm sad today. Oh, I'm happy today. Oh, I'm sad today. But not really feeling or involved in those states, but aware of those states. And so you keep expanding yourself, and then you discover that there's another part of you that's a piece of the whole. And so if you expand well enough, you begin to recognize that you have aspects, facets of your being that are not inside your physical body, but your physical body is actually inside this greater aspect of who you are. So if you think of yourself walking down the street, you know, la-di-da-di-da, moving your legs, moving your arms, but outside of you is this part of you, this aspect of you, that has a much more expansive awareness. But if you're not aware of it, there's no communication there. And then if you can expand a little bit further than that, you begin to recognize that you're actually a function or a part of an emanation of Gaia, of the planet itself. So in truth, you could think of yourself as being Gaia, as being the planet, because we're made of the elements of the planet. And as the planet, we can feel what the planet feels. We can communicate, we can understand. And as you go into expand beyond that, outside yourself even further, and if you think that, well, if I am an emanation of the planet, well, aren't all the other human beings around me also outcroppings of the planet? And if we're all grown out of this planet, then aren't we all the same thing? Or maybe there's a communication there. Maybe there's a relationship there. Maybe we can begin to look at each other differently. And as we start to recognize that humanity is connected at this level of expansiveness, then we can transform that collective unconscious, that chaos of fear and control, into a collective consciousness, into a collective aha about where we want to take the direction of the world. And that is the level of evolutionary process that humanity is going through at this moment, so that we can transform our focus of awareness from what is in front of our face. You know, like they have the horses with blinders and they put a carrot in front and the horse just trots along following the carrot, carrying whatever burden is being heaped upon him. In a way, that's how humanity functions. We watch the media, the carrot, and we just trot along doing what we're told. Well, now it's time for humanity to take off the blinders, to plant the carrot, not follow it, and begin to see ourselves, our beings, our individual beings, and each other in a different way. And as we see each other in this collective way, we can connect to how we are impacting each other, how we are responsible for each other, how we impact the earth, how we are responsible for the earth, how our decisions and our choices will transform everything. But because it's a collective movement effort, we each hold that responsibility. So it's not the Pope, it's not the President, it's not the people who are our so-called elected representatives, it's not the teachers, it's not the court system, it's not the lawyers, it's every individual plays a part in what we become as a humanity. And as part of that self-recognition, we have to acknowledge how powerful each and every human being, you and I, and all of us are. When we acknowledge our power, we take back our power. And then we can begin to have a level of impact in the world with our actions and with our words. And the Pope to me is really just demonstrating what's possible. Here is a guy who historically, you know, popes have not been that cool. They've been pretty toxic. They've done some horrific things in the world. You know, the religion, that whole mess has been very toxic to the world. And so here this guy trots out in his little white suit or dress, whatever that they call it, and speaking truth to power, and in a way, it's transforming the world. This is what this radio station does every day. But this is what we also have to do individually, not just rhetorically, but we have to embody it. We have to be it. We have to be, if we want justice in the world, that means we have to give justice to the guy on the corner who we might not know. If we want compassion in the world, we have to be compassionate with our spouses, with our children. If we want to have peace in the world, we have to be peaceful in our workplaces. If we want to, you know, this is what I mean, is that there's got to be a recognition that we each have a responsibility to transform the collective unconscious into the collective awareness of movement, of change and transformation. And so I've been speaking a lot. I'm going to play a song for you in order to take a break and to give you a moment to contemplate. And we'll be back with a few more words as we flow towards the last moments of today's program.
Oh, yeah. My way, I wonder about your life. What is your age? Are you connected? If so, does she treat you right? Now, please excuse me for being so forward, but I couldn't let this chance go by without letting you know why.
And that was India Ari, I See God in You. I wanted to mention, for those of you who are interested in engaging in your own process of transformation, meditation, and movement, I do teach Qigong classes, and Qigong is a bit like Tai Chi. It's called a moving meditation, and it's about entering your breath, entering your center, and really opening up the channels of vibrational movement of your energy for healing, for spiritual growth. And starting in October, I will be teaching a morning class. So primarily for those of you who live in Brooklyn, it'll be 7 a.m. on Wednesday mornings at Studio Maya. And that's on Bergen Street, 603 Bergen Street. And you can call them for more details, because I don't have all of the details. I'm not sure the day. But it will be Wednesday mornings at 7 a.m. for the month of October. And Studio Maya in Brooklyn is 917-837-3705. That's 917-837-3705. And you can ask them that, oh, I heard you're going to have a Qigong class. I'm interested in finding out. So give them a call. And for those of you who are more connected to us here at 388 Atlantic Avenue, I will also be doing classes here and resuming the spiritual support group. But it looks like it will be on Sunday, also starting in October. And I haven't chosen the exact start date, but it will be Sunday around 1 or 2-ish in the afternoon. And while the weather is, when the weather is nice, we'll probably go up onto the roof garden and do some breathing and meditation. It'll be a lovely experience. And then maybe after, we'll go downstairs to that new organic cafe and have some tea, or, you know, and talk and do a little support group thing. So it's going to be wonderful to, as we move into this time of transformation and change, to pull together our support, to pull together our willingness to take responsibility for ourselves, first of all, and to be willing to have that community with each other. So by all means, if you want more information, this will be beginning in October, which is actually now. Today is the 1st of October, if you look at it from that perspective. But it will be coming in the next week. So you can give a call if you want to find out more about this, or if you want to connect with myself, I'm Catherine, about a possible private session, if you're interested in learning meditation, if you're interested in any of these things, I'm happy to receive your calls. Or you can email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, and you can leave a message for me on the phone number 347-480-1694. That's 347-480-1694. And you can also connect on Facebook. I spell my name K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. And this program is Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. Next week, we will be entering our on-air fundraising drive here at WBAI. And I am preparing some wonderful, wonderful tools that you'll be able to use in this process to expand awareness, to connect deeply within, and to be able to have a transformative expression within your life. Because the idea is not to have that dissonance, but to be living a life that is peaceful and harmonious and fulfilling. And that's what will change the world. So I'm going back to Patricia Cota-Robles. This powerful influx of gamma rays was the result of an explosion of a star that took place more than 12.1 billion years ago. The beings of light confirmed that this light reached planet Earth in perfect divine timing. Just to give you an idea of how far away this star was, it takes 18.17 minutes for light from the surface of the sun to reach the surface of the Earth. Okay, and so this explosion took place more than 12.1 billion years ago, and that energy is reaching us now. So that's rather monumental, I would say. Sometimes these astronomical numbers about time and space seem confusing to us, but we must remember that time and space only exist in the third and fourth dimensions. From the fifth dimensions and beyond, there is no such thing as time or space. In the higher realms of light, everything occurs in the eternal moment of now. We're going to be talking about this next week. What really is this business of staying in the now? We're going to talk about that, and we're going to do it. Gamma ray bursts are not well understood by astronomers, but they realize that they are very important because they are the most powerful explosions in the universe. These bursts release more energy in 10 seconds than Earth's sun will release during its entire expected lifespan of 10 billion years. Just imagine. The beings of light have revealed that gamma rays are instrumental in recalibrating humanity's DNA structures. Now that humanity's fragmented double helix DNA has been restored in the realms of cause to the 12 strands of we originally had and recalibrated to the frequencies of fifth dimensional crystalline solar light, we are ready for the monumental events that are taking place. So what Patricia is saying is very much in harmony or alignment with what I have often been sharing with you. But sometimes it's important to get perspectives from beyond oneself to you know, just to make sure that we are talking from something that's beyond our own imagination. You know, these are real, these things are happening. And we're feeling the impact. Some of the feeling, what we're feeling is difficult. And some of it is magnificent. But there are as many challenges as not. And I wrote a little piece. It was actually inspired by a young person that I was counseling. I do energetic counseling. I'm a spiritual doula. So that is to work with people on their cultivation of inner being, the inner life, the spiritual life, the consciousness, the awareness of truth in who they are and who we are. It's when we get trapped in the outer world that we become miserable. And we all get trapped from time to time. No one's immune. Certainly not myself, not anyone. Something to think about and feel about. I wrote this on the 25th. In the olden days, 1955 to 1999, people were motivated by the need for finding a place in the world, a place of influence and wealth, giving cause for ascendancy and power over the material world. Concern for others were subsumed by concern for self. In the new age, 1999 to 2035, people are being born and infused with a new consciousness that is motivated by the inner light, seeking to find peace through inspiration and truth, giving rise to the co-creation of an harmonious reality. All are being called to this new awareness as it is orchestrated on a cosmic level. The evolutionary process of the divine, this is how it happens. The energy rises in vibration. The creation lifts to a new frequency of being. Those species and humans with a low vibratory consciousness that are unable to adapt will eventually pass away into obscurity. The uplifted continue to manifest a new creation in harmony with the divine will of transformation. Now I pause to keep in mind, I consider this to be absolutely true. There is an evolutionary process underway, but it started around 1999 and it will travel through about 2035. So there's no rush for everyone to get on board. People can move in their own pace, with their own timing, with their own sensibilities and understandings, but we should understand that those who are unable to adapt to the evolutionary process, like many species, will become extinct. Okay. Those born during and coming into adulthood during these evolutionary transitional years are in some ways torn in two, as they are possessed of the old way and called to the new. From this conflict, an inner torment arises. Does one serve the old way or risk walking into the unknown? A path of balance is called for. Walk in the world, sustain, support one's life, but invest not in the sentiments of these times. Follow the guidance within to know which direction to turn, to provide synchronistic events that will protect and support movement through this transition. Mind thoughts of the old era guide from fear and a drive to survive, to accumulate and hoard, to turn away from the needs of a stranger, and to judge all according to these values. Heart feelings, not emotions, feelings of the new era guide from an inner knowing that draws from the perspective of a higher self, the soul, the guidance of the divine. This gives rise to an awareness that is expanded and in possession of a greater perspective over that which the eyes can perceive in the world. And so the inner conflict, the inner torment, is the call of your soul, the presentation of an opportunity to discern that which brings you peace from that which brings you pain. It is an opportunity to retreat from the old ways and integrate the new. On the occasion of suffering, always seek the answer within your heart. Do not pacify the self with consumption, but allow the hurt to guide you deeper within yourself. Following this path to the core perception from which it emanates, such as, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, I'm not accepted, I'm not respected, I'm not understood, etc., etc., etc. Feel that and ensue upon an inner chant. I am good. I am love. I am cherished. I am that I am. This is the song of your soul, being sung to you in every moment, every single moment. So take a moment to listen and hear of your own beauty and perfection. know the truth of your being, and then be that in the world. Be the expression of your truth. And so I thank you for joining me today over Heart of Mind. I am Catherine Davis. This is Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. My co-host, Paulette Spencer, will be joining me again as we go forward next week. Next month, we'll be doing fundraising. So you have an opportunity not only to support WBAI, but to receive the gift of health, both spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, psychologically. Wholeness is what we are, and wholeness is how we can and will live in the world. You can, again, make contact with myself. I'm Catherine, either by phone or by email. And the email is heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. You can go to my voice messaging system, 347-480-1694. Please leave a message. If you don't leave a message, I will not be able to call you back. 347-480-1694. heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And if you like, you can visit my healing site, qigongonline.net. That is qigongonline.net. qigongonline.net, spelled with a Q. And you will find there some meditation, and some movement, and some insights and inspiration, and you can learn more about what I do in my everyday expression here on Earth. So I thank you again for joining me, and we're going to go to a piece by Hale called Navayi. She is a beautiful, I believe, Iranian musician, singer, composer, and I want you to stay tuned. Coming up will be Hour of the Wolf. And in the early morning hours, please stay tuned for Burn, Baby, Burn.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name's Jim Freund. This morning, Max Schmid is putting the program together for us. I'm just here to intro and outro and to thank Max and to tell you about a reading. Stay tuned.
I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. Midway through the new film Garm Wars, The Last Druid, yes, that's a real title, two of the main characters, opposing warriors who have become reluctant allies, Kara, played by Melanie St-Pierre, and Skellig, played by Kevin Durand, and nearly unrecognizable from the role he's presently playing on, The Strain, pause to discuss what it's like to be blessed by a Gula, one of the mystical creatures that is their traveling companion. Kara talks about the feeling of overwhelming benevolence she received from the Gula's mere touch and goes to great lengths to compliment its odor. Skellig, meanwhile, can't say enough about how wonderful its drool is. Did I mention, by the way, that the Gula is actually a basset hound? Because it is. A real-life basset hound that Garm Wars devotes considerable footage to watching waddle through futuristic warship sets and forest and desert locations. This is weird, but not quite as weird when you know who the director is. He's Mamoru Oshii, best known as the director of the influential anime feature Ghost in the Shell, and well known to those who have followed his career as an avid breeder of basset hounds, a breed for which he has no end of superlatives and which, over the course of his career, play greater and greater roles in his films. And while it is likely that Oshii has more than a little tongue in his cheek in having his beloved basset laconically glumping throughout the scenes of this live-action film, spreading goodwill wherever it goes, it well fits in with the way he tends to personalize all his work, live-action and animation. And so, all of Oshii's obsessions are here in Garm Wars, aircraft that spread their wings like biomechanical birds of prey, warriors as obsessed with discovering the reasons for their own existence as they are dedicated to the art of battle, and tons of blatant religious iconography, from an impromptu crucifixion to giant winged androids rising out of the wilderness like immense avenging angels. And basset hounds, yeah, basset hounds too. There's tons of beautiful imagery, most of it computer-generated by Oshii's regular production partner, Production IG, and no lack of action, airborne battles, exploding warships, a great sequence in which soldiers fight giant, lumbering robots in a lush forest, although, as is the wont of CG effects, too much of it feels a little too intangible to fully captivate. If only there was enough story to make it worthwhile. That's also sort of an Oshii specialty that shows up more often in his live-action films. With his animated projects like Ghost in the Shell or Skycrawlers, there's frequently source material being adapted, so the storyline is built in. A lot of Oshii's live-action work is original material, and the director does seem to mistake enigmatic ambience for a narrative line. The story here, such as it is, involves Kara and Skellig escorting a technologically advanced pilgrim, played by Lance Henriksen, whose every line reading screams, "Boy, I hope you people know what's going on here," and another mystical being, known as a druid, hence the title, to a distant realm where it is promised that the truth of their race, collectively known as the Garm, will be revealed to them. But that story doesn't kick in until the film is almost halfway over, and that is prefaced by fully 45 minutes of insanely incomprehensible exposition, delivered by narrator subtitles and an inquest overloaded with declamatory speeches. And then the film is capped off by the steadily sinking realization that, in fact, a full story is not going to be told here, that this entire exercise is, in itself, preface for some other story to be told in future chapters that, I'll go out on a limb with this prediction here, will probably never be made. Nearly all of Mamoru Oshii's works are tightrope acts, treading the line between consequence and inscrutability. In works like Ghost in the Shell and Pat Labor 2, he threads that needle and delivers films of powerful and sometimes controversial impact. When he falters, he can slip into a morass of vagueness and shallow posturing. Garm Wars, the Last Druid, tries for mystical depth, but at best can only deliver some occasionally striking imagery and the notion that Basset Hounds are really adorable. I'm Dan Persons. Remember, we are archiving these reviews over at my Mighty Movie Podcast website, so check out what you missed by going to mightymoviepodcast.com.
And thank you, Dan. And you are listening to WBAI in New York City, listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifico Radio at 99.5 FM. This program is Hour of the Wolf, and I am not Jim Freund. Well, I am Jim Freund, but I'm not producing the show today. Max Schmid is, because I have an insane, crazy schedule. Part of that schedule includes that next week I will be gone to CapClave, which is the Washington, D.C. science fiction convention, where I'll get a lot of interviews and is a lot of fun. But on Tuesday, that's October 6th, we will be having an episode, a meeting of the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings. And let me tell you all about it. We have two fine readers, both from Kings County and Queens County. Brooke Bolander writes weird things of indeterminate genre, most of them leaning rather heavily towards fantasy. She attended the University of Leicester, studying history and archaeology, and is an alum of the 2011 Clarion Writers Workshop at UCSD. Her work has been featured in Lightspeed, Strange Horizons, Nightmare, Reflections Edge, and the upcoming anthologies Aliens, Recent Encounters, and Help Fund My Robot Army. She is a clean, burning, energy-efficient engine that runs primarily off tea, the works of Peter S. Beagle, and Fumita Ueda, and feedback from her readers. Follow her on Twitter at bbolander or at her website, brookbolander.com. And our other reader is Matt Kressel. Matthew Kressel is a multiple Nebula Award finalist and World Fantasy Award finalist. His first novel, King of Shards, debuts October 13th from Resurrection House. His fiction has or will soon appear in such markets as Clark's World, Lightspeed, Nightmare, io9.com, Beneath Ceaseless Skies, Interzone, Apex Magazine, and the anthologies After, Naked City, The People of the Book, Launchpad, and many other markets. He was the former editor and publisher of the acclaimed zine Sybil's Garage, and he published the World Fantasy Award-winning Paper Cities. Alongside veteran editor Ellen Datlow, and if you were listening 2 weeks ago, you heard her on this program, he co-hosts the Fantastic Fiction at KGB Reading Series in Manhattan. He has been a member of the Altered Fluid Writers Group for more than a decade, studies the Yiddish language in his spare time, and is preternaturally obsessed with the film Blade Runner. If you ask politely, he might recite whole scenes from the film.
Find him on Twitter at Matt Kressel and his blog at MatthewKressel.net. Our host for the evening will be Amy Goldschlager, who is an editor, proofreader, and book/audiobook reviewer. She has worked for several major publishers and has contributed reviews and features to the LA Review of Books, Locus, Kirkus, Publishers Weekly, Comic Mix, and Audiophile Magazine. She lives in Brooklyn and can